Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, the truth about cats and dogs, common myths about pets are debunked, and we'll learn everything you wanted to know about cats' tongues, or not. Let's muzzle these myths about dogs and cats from PetWave. Number one, dogs are colorblind. The myth, dogs only see in black and white. The origin, the basis for this myth, is not known. The truth, dogs do see in color. However, they see differently than most people do and are less able to distinguish between colors. Veterinary ophthalmologists have determined that dogs see like people who have red-green color blindness. Dogs' eyes have receptors for blue and green shades, but not for red shades. As a result, it appears that dogs cannot easily distinguish between yellow, green, and red, but they can identify different shades of blue, purple, and gray. Color is only one of many visual stimuli that dogs detect in their environment. Brightness, contrast, and especially motion are extremely important to a dog's interpretation of what it sees. Myth number two, cats always land on their feet. The myth, cats always land on their feet when falling from heights. The origin, in the feline world, the most popular cliche is cats always land on their feet. In reality, although cats do instinctively try to fall feet first, they commonly break bones or suffer other injury when falling from heights. The truth, this is perhaps one of the most widely known and dangerous of all myths regarding cats because, unfortunately, many children have tried to prove that it is true. It is not. Cats are indeed very athletic and agile animals, and they do have a unique instinctive ability to twist themselves in midair to correct their position during a fall. However, if a cat is surprised, sick, disoriented, or injured, it is unlikely to be able to adjust its position to land feet first. Of course, if it falls from a great height, a cat's ability to reposition itself will not matter because the force of the fall will cause serious injury or even death, whether the cat's feet hit the ground first or not. Moreover, if a cat falls from a short height, it may not have enough time to twist around and land on its feet. Myth number three, if a dog's nose is warm, it means it's sick. The myth? Well, of course, if a dog has a warm, dry nose, it's sick. The origin? There's no identifiable origin for this myth. People just seem to think that a dog with a warm or dry nose is sick and that a dog with a cold, wet nose is well. The truth. If a dog has a dry or warm nose, it means that he has a dry or warm nose. A dry nose or a mildly warm nose has nothing to do with the overall health of a dog. Number four, if a dog is wagging its tail, it's happy. The origin, most dogs do wag their tails when they are happy. As a result, people associate a wagging tail with a happy dog. The truth, in many cases, a dog that is wagging its tail is happy or at least is expressing excitement or pleasure. Tail wagging certainly does express a strong state of emotion, much like a smile does in people. However, just like a human smile, a dog's wagging tail does not necessarily reflect happiness or something positive. Dogs frequently wag their tails when they are agitated, irritated, tense, anxious, annoyed, frightened, angry, or aggressive. Interestingly, researchers have found that dogs do not normally wag their tails when they are alone, even if they apparently are happy or are in a pleasant situation. Tail wagging seems to be a behavior that is reserved for times when the dog is in the company of others. Myth number five, cats have nine lives. The origin, this myth probably stems from the fact that cats are very supple and resilient animals, even when they are ill or injured. Cats have a keen ability to get out of situations that would probably be the death of lesser animals. They are There are many reports of cats surviving for lengthy periods of time in very harsh conditions, even without easily accessible food or water. The related myth that cats always land on their feet may also contribute to the myth that cats have 9 lives. 9 is considered by many to be a lucky number. In some cultures, the myth is that cats have 7 lives. Either way, cats are considered to be lucky. The truth, of course, cats do not have 9 lives. Cats are mortal. However, they do tend to be very healthy, hardy animals. They can take care of themselves in most any situation, whether indoors or out. They are nimble, intelligent, and resourceful. But like all other mammals, cats only have 1 life to live. Number 6, a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth. The origin, dog saliva was once believed to be antiseptic, and some people still believe it has healing properties. The basis for this belief is not known. The truth, a dog's mouth is not cleaner than a person's mouth. Dog saliva can be toxic to some bacteria, but it carries its own population of bacteria and other infectious organisms. That population is just different from the assortment of bacteria and other germs in the human mouth, based largely upon differences in the diet. There is a reason for the term dog breath. People with weakened immune systems and young children probably should not have direct contact with dog or cat saliva. Number 7. 1 year of a dog's life is equal to 7 years of a human's life. Dogs age 7 years for every 1 human year is the myth. The origin of this myth, the basis for this myth remains a mystery. It probably comes from simple math. An average lifespan for dogs is 10 to 12 years, and multiplying this by 7 equals 70 to 74 years, roughly the average lifespan for people today. The truth, contrary to popular belief, there is no exact formula to gauge how much a dog develops or ages in comparison to so-called people years. Aging is as individual for dogs as it is for people. Taking a dog's age and multiplying it by 7 is an overly simplistic formula and does not reflect a dog's actual development status. A more accurate, rough guide is as follows. For 1 dog year, that would equal 15 years. 2 dog years would equal 24 human years. And all the way up to 20 years for a dog would equal 98 years in human years. Of course, there is a distinct difference in aging between small dogs and giant breed dogs. Large dogs have a significantly shorter lifespan than do small dogs. Their development in the early years is about the same as other breeds. However, large and giant breed dogs developmentally are much older than smaller breeds in their later years, starting at about 7 years of age. And that would be equivalent to 45 years in human years. Number 8, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. The origin. This myth probably started with someone who wasn't able to get his older dog to sit, roll over, come, or stay. It is one of the most common, albeit false, cliches about domestic dogs. The truth, you can teach an old dog new tricks. Dogs can learn new tricks, skills, and commands within their physical capabilities until the day they pass away. What's more, they usually want to learn. Their minds need stimulation just like ours. With patience, kindness, persistence, and consistency, owners can teach their older dogs all sorts of new tricks, such as sit, bark when the doorbell rings, fetch, lie down, roll over, play dead, and shake or high five. As long as a dog is bright, alert, responsive, and healthy, there's no reason that he cannot keep learning new things throughout his life. Number 9, cats purr because they are happy. The origin. This myth, like many others, doesn't have a precise origin. It probably comes from the fact that most cats do purr in the presence of their owners when they are being petted, which we interpret as a sign of happiness. The truth, most cats do purr when they are happy. However, this is not the only time they purr. Cats will sometimes purr when they are sick, stressed, injured, frightened, or in pain. They also can purr when they are giving birth and even as they are dying. Purring seems to be more an expression of some strong emotion, whether positive or negative, than it is an expression of a particular emotion, including happiness. Purring by a cat might be similar to humming or whistling by a human. It is commonly done out of happiness, but it also might be done as a result of stress, fright, or discomfort, or nervousness. Number 10, cats can see in the dark. The origin, this myth probably originates from people observing cats navigating at night. Cats are often active at night and do tend to get around very well in the dark. The truth, although cats do see better in semi-darkness than people, they cannot see in total darkness. The pupils of their eyes open much wider in dim light than those of people, letting in more light during the normal hunting hours of dawn and dusk. But again, cats cannot see in complete darkness. And 11, dogs eat grass to throw up. The myth is that dogs eat grass when they need to vomit. The origin, this myth originates from people observing their dogs eating grass and then vomiting. The truth, there actually appear to be two distinct types of grass-eating behavior in domestic dogs. Some dogs graze casually, taking only a few nibbles of grass at a time, while others chow down on grass vigorously and with purpose. Dogs who wolf down their grass tend to vomit it and other stomach contents, of course, within a matter of minutes. Dogs that graze slowly usually do not throw up, so eating grass does not necessarily mean that a dog has an upset stomach. So there are some myths about pets that have been debunked. Did you learn anything new? I sure did. And next, from National Geographic, How Cats' Tongues Work and Can Inspire Human Tech by Carrie Arnold. This was published November 19th, 2018. In National Geographic. Scientists use CT scans to get up close and personal with cat tongues to learn their secrets. Cats love to groom themselves almost as much as they love to sleep, spending up to one quarter of their waking hours cleaning their fur. The secret to their self-cleaning success? The spines on their tongues are curved and hollow-tipped, according to a paper published today in the journal PNAS. These tiny spines, called papillae, can transfer large amounts of saliva from mouth to fur, which not only cleanses Fluffy down to her skin, but also lowers her body temperature as the saliva evaporates. A cat tongue works like a very small comb, says David Hu, a bioengineer at Georgia Tech and senior author of the new paper. The results don't just provide insight into how one of the world's most popular pets stays clean. They've also inspired a new type of brush called the Tiger, spelled T-I-G-R, the tongue-inspired grooming brush. Studded with small, curved, flexible spines, just like those on a cat's tongue, the Tiger prototype readily removes loose hair or fur from humans and felines alike, but can be cleaned with a simple swipe of a finger. It may even possibly make cats less allergenic by removing excess dander, Hu says. Researchers collected tongue samples from six species: domestic cats, bobcats, cougars, snow leopards, tigers, and lions, and put them through a micro CT scanner to get a closer look. The researchers found that these scoop-shaped papillae are what allow cats to get saliva right down to their skin, which could inspire new approaches to cleaning and depositing fluids on all kinds of hairy, furry, and fuzzy surfaces. Transporting liquids is a problem for animals and engineers, says Sungwan Sonny Jung, a bioengineer at Cornell University who was not involved in the research. This paper shows that scientists can use the physics of basic animal behavior to answer fundamental questions. CAT scan. Hughes PhD student Alexis Noel first became interested in cat grooming after watching her cat's tongue repeatedly get snagged as it licked a microfiber blanket. Noel had seen her cat licking itself plenty of times before, but as she watched it try to groom a fluffy blanket, she began to think about the process with fresh eyes. Sharp spines called papillae cover a cat's tongue and give it its sandpapery texture. It was these spines that got tangled in Noel's blanket. Noel wanted to understand why these papillae were so good at getting knots out of fur and blankets. A quick skim of the research literature revealed that scientists had paid almost no attention to the biomechanics of cat grooming. Hugh and Noel decided to change this. First, though, they would need cat tongues. Obtaining samples from deceased domestic cats was straightforward. Getting the tongues of wild cats, not so much. There aren't a lot of tongues just sitting around, he says. After hassling zoos and animal reserves for months, they finally had enough samples. With tongues from six cats, species, domestic cat, bobcat, cougar, snow leopard, tiger, and lion, Noel and Hugh got a closer look at the papillae, zooming in with a micro CT scanner. A 1982 paper reported that cat papillae had the shape of a hollow cone, but newer technology used by the Georgia Tech researchers revealed that the spines actually curved backwards towards the throat. The difference sounds subtle, but it's not, Hugh said. The curved shape of the papillae allows it to wick up water on contact using surface tension, something that a hollow cone couldn't do. Cats' tongues transfer saliva through layers of fur all the way down to their skin. Understanding that how they work could lead to new methods of applying creams and lotions to cat skin without needing to shave their fur. At this small scale, these differences really matter, Hugh says. Although each papillae may only be able to wick a fraction of water, 4.1 microliters to be precise, over the course of a day, the dung of the tongue of a domestic cat transfers an average of 48 milliliters to its fur, about a fifth of a cup of water. Naughty questions. The researchers discovered that papillae's orientation wasn't fixed. High-speed videos of three short-haired domestic cats grooming showed that the papillae rotate as the cat's tongue encounters knots in its fur. This rotation let the spike probe even deeper into the fuzzy snarl and ultimately work it loose. This flexibility, Hugh says, is the key to what allows such relatively short spikes to clean not only longer, sparser outer layer of fur, but also the thick down-like undercoat next to the skin. The researchers' measurements revealed that even relatively light pressure from the tongue during grooming allowed all the species of cat to clean themselves down to the skin. The one exception, the Persian cat, a domestic breed that needs to be brushed daily to prevent mats from forming. But all of this licking isn't just to keep Kitty looking her best. Thermal imaging cameras revealed that grooming can also help cool a cat, creating a temperature difference of up to 30 degrees Fahrenheit between the skin and outermost fur as the saliva evaporates. Eye of the tiger. Understanding how cats stay clean was one thing, but as an engineer, who wanted to go further? When his kids got lice, who spent hours searching the pharmacy for the right brush to remove the nits, and then combing through their hair to remove every last trace of the lice? A quick internet search revealed that combs hadn't changed much in tens of thousands of years. Hugh's work with Noel made the pair that perhaps the cat tongue could inspire something better. Looking for new materials by studying how cats groom is very cool. It shows you don't have to go deep into the forest to find something useful, says Sylvain Deville, an engineer at the French National Center for Scientific Research, who wasn't involved in the research. Using a silicone-based polymer, the pair 3D printed a small, flexible brush about the size of two fingers held side by side. The spines on the brush were simply a scaled-up version of cat papillae. When Noel and Hugh compared how well the tiger and a human hairbrush could remove knots from a pelt of faux nylon fur, the tiger removed more knots with less force than a standard brush. Noel could also remove the loose fur from the brush with the simple swipe of a finger, as opposed to painstakingly picking the hair out with tweezers. It could also mean a better brush for cats, some of whom despise existing brushes currently on the market, my cat included. The softness and flexibility of the tiger may provide something closer to the cat's own grooming experience that's more tolerable for them and their owners. The tiger is the perfect example of bio-inspired design, says Megan Schuchnet, director of design challenges at the Biomimicry Institute in Missoula, Montana. Cats have been around us for centuries, but nobody's ever thought to look that closely before, she says. Still, Jung says the tiger isn't yet ready for mass production. There are a lot of ways it will need to be improved before it's ready for use in the real world, he says. Hu and Noel have already filed for a patent for the tiger and see the brush being used not just for grooming, but also for applying creams and lotions to cat skin without needing to shave the animal, and even for sorting fibers and textiles. Cats already rule the internet, and with the tiger, they may be one step closer to eventually ruling the entire world. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That, from facts about chocolate.com, chocolate and dogs, cats, and other pets. Chocolate-colored pets like a chocolate lab or a chocolate Siamese are okay. Chocolate and dogs are a bad combination, sure. They're each great on their own, but together the combination can be lethal. The same can be said of chocolate and cats, or chocolate and any pet. The theobromine in chocolate, one of the substances that makes it so pleasant for us, is toxic to many animals, including dogs and cats. They are unable to digest this chemical, and as it circulates in the bloodstream, it damages the central nervous and circulatory systems. All chocolate contains theobromine. Therefore, all chocolate is bad for pets. Chocolate in dogs, cats, or other pets equals bad, bad, bad. The higher the cocoa content, the more theobromine it contains. So 100% pure baking chocolate has much more theobromine than milk chocolate, which in turn has more than white chocolate. Even though white chocolate must be ingested in huge doses before it is usually lethal, it is best to keep all chocolate away from pets. A single ounce of baker's chocolate can be lethal to a 10-pound animal. It wouldn't take much to do in your hamster or lizard. If you are a cat owner, do not assume your finicky cat can be trusted with your chocolate bar. Cats are curious, and my cat happens to adore chocolate. Because of their small bodies, even small doses of chocolate can be lethal. Symptoms of chocolate poisoning include anxiety, pacing, hyperexcitability, irritability, excessive thirst, excessive urination, vomiting, muscular tremors, seizures, diarrhea, nausea, irregular heartbeat, and coma. Symptoms usually appear within a few hours, but can take up to 36 hours to manifest. The sooner an animal is treated, the better chance it has. So, if you suspect your pet has eaten chocolate, do not wait for the symptoms. Take your pet to the vet immediately. If your pet displays these symptoms, go to your vet. Be ready to tell your vet how much chocolate you think your pet ate, what type of chocolate it was, and how long ago it was that he ate it. It is helpful to bring the chocolate wrapper if it is available. If your pet ingested the chocolate within the past couple of hours, the vet may induce vomiting or pump the animal's stomach. If it has been longer than a couple of hours, the theobromine will already be circulating in the animal system, and the vet will attempt to support the animal's own defensive systems through intravenous fluids and drugs such as anti-seizure medication. Remember that the best medicine is prevention. Keep your pet safe by being a responsible chocoholic. Keep all chocolate and candy away from your pets. Chocolate and dogs, cats, or any other animal is a bad combination. So, you're just going to have to eat all that chocolate yourself. And here's a nice story. Mom shares children's hilarious secret plan to convince her to buy them a puppy. Tuesday, 15th, May 2018, by Sarah Young in the independent.co.uk. A mother has shared her children's secret plan to persuade her to buy them a puppy, and it's hilarious. From letting them have ice cream for dinner to playing in the dirt, youngsters have a way of convincing their parents to make bad decisions. And one little boy set his sights on getting his pet dog. He hatched a cunning step-by-step plan to make sure he got what he wanted. Together with his little sister, Scarlett, they wrote down a list of things he could do to convince his mom to buy him a puppy, but they made one big mistake, leaving it where their parents could find it. The children's mother discovered the list on the family's kitchen table and decided to share the hilarious list on Facebook. Their plan included do all chores, give compliments, drop in random facts, post cute pictures of dogs, put on Christmas list, and trade in sibling. Followed by say that I'll get more fit, put cute pictures around the house, who's the sucker? Make a music video. Scarlett also added her own step at the bottom of the list, which reads, ask please, can we have a dog? And that'll do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time, and don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.